Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the Tan Talk Radio Network, the show where you can find help and hope with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. And as always, my best friend, co-host, and sidekick, Lynn Thornley.
Hi. Good to be here, Lenny.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We had a great week this week, didn't we?
Oh, didn't we?
We did a lot of stuff this
week. We did. I love that party for the Centurions.
Oh, my goodness. And we met two people there. I have them right here. Hugo, because you said you were going to listen today. Hugo, I hope you are. It was Hugo's 100th birthday. He came in with his Harley Davidson vest on. What a cool guy. And also Susan Hilliard was 101 years old. She was looked like she's 60 years old.
She does, and she talks that way. She's sharp.
Yeah, and Hugo wanted to dance with Lynn and I, but he also said he more than once how much he was grateful. Okay. There you go. And Susan said her secrets is her advice was don't sweat the small stuff, and don't worry about things that you can't do anything about. Good advice, because you know how many times we worry about stuff that we can't do anything about. And we have a special guest today on the show.
We do.
Lauren McLaughlin. We were just figuring we've been friends for like 15 years.
Long time. Nice to be here.
I'm very, very excited to have you here today.
I'm delighted to be here.
And we're going to talk about some really good stuff. But today I want to say a shout out to our listeners. We have Emily from Pinellas Park.
Woohoo!
Lynn from North Carolina. You know her.
I do.
And Dan from St. Pete. So we really appreciate you guys tuning in today, because we know that your time is precious, and it's not so easy to always have time to listen to this show. And who do we have on the boards today? Our awesome producer, Mr. Peter Blay.
What's going on, guys? Happy Saturday. How you doing?
I'm always happy on Saturdays.
That's good. That's good. And, of course, be more happier if you listen to the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area on Saturday afternoons from 3 to 6. It's the Sports Web, the evolution of sports talk radio. We give you your own walk-up music. We let you call in twice, and we don't hang up on you like those other sports talk shows do. A lot of things to talk about today, ladies. NFL draft, Razor Hot.
Oh,
and, of course, we got
wait.
A big-time hockey game against the Boston Bruins. Game one starting at 3 o'clock from 3 to 6 on the Tan Talk Sports Network. It's the Sports Web. I'm your host, Peter Blake, giving you something to think about.
He always gives me something to think about. That boy is on fire.
That I could be that age again and that enthusiastic.
But I try to bring the energy.
We need it.
Bring your passion. Bring your excitement. Just don't bring any nonsense.
We got that.
All right.
So, Lauren, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, we have plenty of energy.
Yeah, we got plenty of energy.
Not like him. He's like the Energizer Bunny.
Linda has me here today because I just wrote a book called The Handbook of Spiritual Tools. I am myself a caregiver. My husband has neuropathy. We can do many things for himself, but unlike the old days, as we say, there are many things he can't. And I know that what the kinds of frustrations that go with that when you think that you and I can walk across the room and get anything we want, but if you couldn't do that, that would be a really disturbing kind of thing. So caregivers have to be cheerleaders. They have to be compassionate people. They have to be patient. They have to be tireless. They have to be lots of things. So I'm happy to be able to talk about the tools that may make their life a little easier today.
And I think that's so important because caregiving is tough. Caregiving is a tough job, and we take care of people that we truly love.
It's also a job we didn't apply for.
Exactly.
and wish we didn't have, not only for ourselves, but for our patients. So.
Well, and the thing is, too, the people we're caring for, we need to learn about their diagnosis, what their issues are. Everything is different. It's not like, you know, you have a baby, it's kind of the same for all babies. Yeah. You know, and you can talk to another mom and say, yeah, what do I do with this? When, you know, somebody's dealing with Alzheimer's, somebody's dealing with cancer, somebody's dealing with neuropathy, Parkinson's, whatever, it's different.
Well, I used to work for an agency named Neighborly Senior Services. Some people may remember it. It was funded at the time by the Older Americans Act, and much of it went by the board. But I taught a class there called Who Takes Care of the Caregiver? Because caregivers are pretty selfless. And people will call to them and say, look, I've got a few hours. Is there anything I can do to help you? Their patient is in pretty good shape, and they say, no, everything's fine. They don't think, well, yeah, you could help me. You could come in and sit for an hour so I could go get my hair cut. You could come just let me talk or listen or bring in some information and news and stuff I'm not dealing with every day. So they're, or even do a load of laundry if you're really over-rushed and don't have time to do everything there is to do. So the caregiver would do well if they would just remember the person who's calling isn't only asking, can I help your patient? They're asking, can I help you?
Well, you know, I think the caregivers have this thing like, it's my responsibility, you know? I'm the one that's supposed to do this. But you know what I say all the time, caregivers? Sometimes your loved one needs a little break from you, too.
Well, that's very true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. And there are wonderful services that help. There is the Care Ride and the DART program, which does allow them. I know my husband said, I'd just love to go to Publix and be able to shop for myself. It doesn't mean that you don't give me everything I need, but I'd like to pick out my own pickles.
Right. So, and my husband was the candy bars.
So we did. We just took DART and went to, and I sat in his power chair while he rode around in Publix's little cart. And he did all the shopping, paid for it, came out, and we came home. But he had the freedom that is so robbed from our patients.
Right. And that little thing made him feel good.
It did.
It made you feel good.
Yeah. Now, it was, compared to going to the grocery store in the old days, it was kind of exhausting. But the exhaustion was sort of worth it because it was nice to give him something that made him feel like he had some of his own abilities back. I forget, you know, I just do things for him all the time.
Exactly.
And it's
sometimes
faster
they want
to
do it themselves.
Well, I know.
But we did that with our kids, too.
Right.
It's a wonder they ever grew up.
Right.
Some of us didn't.
Let me put your coat on for you. Let me get
Let me tie your shoes. Yeah. Let me. But think about that, caregivers, too, because sometimes we rob our loved ones from what's left that they can do. And that can be very difficult for them because then they start to feel helpless. So I know it's difficult, and lots of times it may take a lot longer for something to be done, but please, as many times as you can, give them the opportunity to still do what they can do for themselves.
Well, I'm not talking religion today, but I do think that if we would think in terms of the golden rule, how would we like to be treated?
Right.
If we were sitting in that bed or that chair or that wheelchair or that power chair or walking with that walker. I remember years ago my aunt, who was a very busy businesswoman, broke her ankle and had to use a walker. And she said, people just rushed by me like I didn't exist.
Right.
They didn't stop to talk. They brushed by me and made me lose my balance. And she said, I really woke up to the way I've been treating other handicapped people when I saw them. They're like, you're in my way, not you are a human being and I need
Let
to acknowledge
get aside and help you.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the way we wake up. And frankly, to get back to the book, that's what the book is about. Each time I had a personal experience that woke me up to one of these tools, I realized that I had access to the things I needed to be a better person and to be kinder to myself and the whole world. I just wasn't using them. And so that's kind of why I went out of the way. It's a very little book with a very big message.
With a very big message.
Well, a lot of times you're so overtired when you're looking after somebody that it would be nice to have somebody point out, well, maybe if you tried this, because you don't even think. You're just not thinking anymore.
And I have to say for spouses, you know, there were the things that he or she always used to do that you now do on top of what you used to do.
Right.
And so you do get tired, and even though you don't think about it most of the time, every once in a while you think, gee, if somebody would just take the trash out or do something that there used to be two of us running this household. And it isn't that there's so much work, more work, it's that what they aren't doing as much as what they are doing that that makes you once in a while lose your cool a little bit. And that's too bad because you never want to be in a place where you're not compassionate and understanding. The person you need to be most compassionate and understanding about is yourself.
Exactly.
Because, as I said, this is a job you didn't apply for.
Right. Right. And sometimes it's hardest for us to be nice to ourselves.
Oh, very much so.
You know, because we're so busy taking care of everybody else.
Someone once said if you had these thoughts in your head about you're not being good enough or adequate or up to this or able, you would treat anybody else in the world the way you're treating yourself in your own mind.
Right.
So how safe are you in your own mind is a good question.
So let's talk about some of these spiritual tools.
Okay, well, there are hundreds of spiritual tools, but the 10 that I picked because they help you to change things fairly quickly. For instance, gratitude, which is our favorite one.
Yes.
And I met Linda at a gratitude seminar. I was teaching a gratitude, an all-day gratitude, in fact, two-day gratitude seminar. Gratitude elevates your mood in an instant. And since I wrote the book, a friend of mine was telling me she'd like to find a way to use gratitude with her little daughter, who is in the middle of a divorce situation where the parents have joint custody.
Okay.
And so when she's with her father, she sometimes calls her mother on FaceTime, and she's sad, you know, because dad is too busy or dad is too something. And so they developed a game where we developed it together called Gimme Five, where you hold your hand up and you're going to count off five things. And she says, not gratefulness specifically, but blessings. Give me five of your favorite foods. Give me five things about your pet you love. Give me five of your best friends. And in a minute, the little girl is raised up. Well, a friend of mine started doing it, who is a caregiver, started doing it with her patient. Whenever the patient seemed a little down or sad or hurting or something, she said, come on, give me five. Give me five things we love that happened that were good yesterday. Give me five people who visited you this month. Give me five calls you've had from friends. Give me five greeting cards that came in the mail. And the patient bucks up in just a minute. Now, if there are more, you've got five more fingers.
Right.
Move over to the other five. But give me five has become kind of a little game that came out of this one chapter on gratitude.
Well, it's funny because I was telling you my sister is going through some struggles and I just sent her the book. But before she left last week to go home, I send her my Good Morning Seminole picture every morning. I text it to her separately to each of my sisters and my brother. So I said, every morning when I Good Morning Seminole for you, I want to hear something you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. Yep. So every morning she's giving me one thing and I'm giving her, and it's a start.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a good thing.
But it is an instant mood liver, a mood lifter.
It is.
Louise Hay, who was a guru
fabulous
many
woman,
people know,
yeah,
said you can't be unhappy and grateful at the same time, and you really can't.
Right.
Now, you can slip back quickly enough, but then there are lots more things to be grateful for. And I could have done a two-day seminar as easily as I did a one-day seminar, because if you really get into it, the things we're grateful for can be grateful for are enormous.
I think we have a caller.
Oh, good.
We have a caller, Peter?
Terry Clemens.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hi, Linda.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Joyful and grateful.
We got Linda, Lynn, and Lauren.
Yeah.
That's right. The three L's.
Yeah.
What's up, Terry?
How are you?
We're fine. Great.
Are you having fun?
We are.
Yeah.
We're good. Just getting through the grateful part.
We're grateful you called.
Awesome.
So I hear you use some of these tools with the people you're caring for, Terry, huh?
I do. I love to read Lauren's books to them. So I work with assisting hands, and I'm a CNA. I work mostly with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. And they love that. You know, they love even the families. I may be in the home.
Right.
And I'll read some of the stories. And I hear the families chuckling in the background because they're funny.
Yeah.
She writes with a great sense of humor.
Yes.
And I love the stories that she writes because you feel like you're in the middle of it, especially one of the other books, The Elf.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right in the scene of St. Pete, and I felt like I was right in the book, right? And so that's how Lauren writes, is personal. Her stories are about the people that are in her life and the places that are in her life.
Yeah, I'm very relatable.
Like right,
well, exactly. I could just sit back and receive this all day, Terry. I don't have to say another word. You just keep talking.
Okay.
You're a sweetheart.
But, Terry, you know as a caregiver how important these tools can be, right?
Absolutely.
You get it.
Absolutely. And I think the back of the book is it's a synopsis and it's a quick way of just bringing it all to the point. You know, you've got the gratitude, the kindness, the compassion, forgiveness, trust, imagination, giving and receiving, intention, prayer, and affirmation.
Yeah.
How beautiful is that all right there in one page?
And you know what? It's simple.
Right.
Well, that's the point. And it is not, these tools are part of everyone's religion from the smallest to the largest. They are not
right. It's
they go
everybody.
Way beyond religion, although the book talks about turning things over to God. If you don't do God, you certainly have a spirit that you can turn it over to. So it really is a book for everyone, no matter what their faith base is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm so glad to hear that some of your clients are enjoying the book. That's a really good thing you're doing, Terry. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, you're a sweetheart for calling in.
Too. Okay.
All right, honey, thanks so much.
In the middle of doing something with Days for Girls, philanthropic project that we're doing with doTERRA, and getting ready to start a class for essential oils. So
good for you, sweetheart.
Going. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Take care.
Have a delicious day.
She could be your publicist.
Yeah, she could be my publicist. So she's a sweet girl.
She was on the show a couple months ago.
Was she?
Yeah, she's great. All right, so let's talk about the spiritual tools a little more.
Okay, well, as she said, the gratitude elevates the mood, and then we go into kindness, which is the next one I chose. And I don't think most people know that kindness has a scientific purpose behind it. When you do a kindness for someone, certain chemicals are released in your brain. That it's just a natural reaction. It's everyone's brain. Endorphins are released, but so is oxytocin and serotonin. And these are the feel-good chemicals.
Yeah.
So when you're doing the act of kindness, you feel good. Now, the bonus is that the person who receives the act of kindness also gets a boost of these chemicals in their brain, and anyone who observes the act of kindness.
Right.
So it's a win-win-win if you do something kind for someone in front of someone else.
Well, it was funny. The other day, Lynn and I volunteered with Saving Our Seniors, and we drove around and picked up wheelchairs and things to bring them to the warehouse, because Saving Our Seniors provides durable medical equipment for people that can't afford it. And I said to her at the end of the day, I feel so good,
full of that oxytocin.
Yeah, it was good.
It is. It's a wonderful feeling. There is a formula for using the tools that we might want to talk about before we actually talk about the tool. That is that when we have a challenge, the subtitle of the book is Reaching Beyond the Challenge to Find the Solution. And when we have a challenge, it really is up to us to do everything humanly possible to solve our own challenge. You can't just expect it to be solved without your putting in the full effort. But when you reach that, you know, end of your rope, place where you've done everything you could, there's nothing more to do, I recommend that you take the challenge with all its little tendrils, and it has dozens of little
feelers
going out. And just as if you were sitting at a big table that had a large tablecloth on it, you put the whole mess in the middle of the tablecloth, and then you pull up the corners and tie the top so it is bundled and confined, and you give that to spirit. Now, spirit has the ability to, it's like the GPS, it can see the whole thing, it's God's positioning system, you know, it knows where all the answers are, and until you get out of the way, really, spirit can't do what it's supposed to do, because you keep undoing everything it starts to do.
Till you get out of the way.
Get out of the way. That's not as hard to do as you think, because at that point you're fed up, you're done, you haven't got another ounce of strength in you, you're happy to try at least to let something else solve it. But what do you do to stay out of God's way? And that's where the tools come in. Because the book tells you my story about how I discovered the tool. It then tells you about the tool itself, and then it gives you three or four ways to use the tool.
I like that you give the examples of ways to use it.
If you don't buy the book, we have a website where all this is free, plus on my Facebook page and on the Handbook of Spiritual Tools page, every day we're posting new ways to use them, like the five. I also want to say, if you don't believe in God, if you're an and either an atheist or agnostic, and you say, well, this is a religious thing and I can't do anything about it, it's not. Certainly you know that something beats your heart, flows your blood, works your lungs, changes the color of the leaves in the fall. There's some large energy.
Right.
You don't have to call it God, but it is solving problems around. It's keeping the planets from bumping into each other. It's breathing you when you're not paying attention. Just give it to that. Call it George if you want to, or right. Alice or Pete or Buster. But give it to,
I like Buster.
Give it to somebody. Give it away, because you are now doing more harm than you're doing good. There's nothing more you can do. You've proven that to yourself. Give it away and turn to these tools, which again have nothing to do with religion. They just have to do with interacting with people. So that's the point and the purpose of the book. The book, I have to tell you, is not 100 pages long. So it isn't going to take you an hour and a half.
Well, that's
to
what
really
I like about it, especially for caregivers.
And the caregivers that I know, two of them, are reading them a chapter at a time to their patient, and then they work with that tool for a couple of days. And then they do another chapter and tell another story and work with a different tool.
And it rubs off on the whole family,
it
though.
It does. And that's the thing. If you're doing the kindness for someone, that person is getting the kindness. And the kinds of kindness that a bedridden person can do is to make a telephone call. If someone brings them a bunch of flowers, this is one of my favorites, extract two flowers from them and put them in little vials or little whatever's, and the next person who comes to visit you, give them a flower.
Oh, how nice.
Pay it forward.
Yeah.
You always have something you can give. And if you're mobile or know someone who is, you can write little uplifting notes like, you're a great person, you're an awesome guy, I love to be around you, you make everybody smile, you make me feel good, and then have people hide them everywhere.
People love getting those kind of notes.
And put them in books and put them on park benches and put them on busy receptionist desks. And so it isn't, there's no money involved here. You don't have to buy the book. You can use the website.
But it's nice to have the book to refer to.
The book is wonderfully easy to remember.
I like paper books.
Okay, well, we have to take a little break now and hear from our partners, because you know what happens, guys. If we don't hear from my partners, you don't hear from me. So we'll be back in a little while. Don't go away.
Keep smiling. Keep shining. Knowing you can always count on me.
That's what friends are. The first shock came when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But even more terrible was the realization that Mom wasn't going to be able to care for him on her own. I struggled through sleepless nights and was completely overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety as the disease progressed. Mom could no longer cope with Dad's sudden mood swings and the changes in behavior on her own. In different ways, they both needed help. Then I called Assisting Hands, and I'm so thankful for them. So is my mom. Once again, we both have peace of mind.
Alzheimer's and dementia are devastating diseases, not only for the patients, but for their closest family members. At Assisting Hands, we understand these geriatric disorders, and our staff can provide personalized home care support services that will allow for more freedom to the spouse and family during the transition stages of the disease. Please call Assisting Hands today at 813-280-4838 for your personal in-home consultation at no cost. When you can't do it all,
give Assisting Hands a call. Serving Pinellas and Pasco counties. Call them today at 813-280-4838. That's 813-280-4838. Let them help you out.
Are you looking for some resources, a support group, inspiration? You can find it all at www.lindascaregiverconnections.com. Lindascaregiverconnections.com. There is a calendar of support groups and caregiver events, a weekly blog, important telephone numbers, and people and companies of integrity like elder care lawyers, home health care companies, geriatric care managers, movers, and many more. If there is something you're looking for that you do not find there, please feel free to email me and I will find the resource you are looking for. Want to nominate a caregiver? Download the caregiver affirmation or listen to this week's show or previous weeks, just go to www.connectingcaregiversradio.com. Connectingcaregiversradio.com. Need a caregiver coach for one-on-one coaching or as a family? Or if you wish to have me speak at one of your events, just give me a call at 727-365-8383. That's 727-365-8383. That's me, Linda Burhan, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Remember how you felt when you were a child? Your body was full of life and vital energy. You were healthy. St. Petersburg chiropractor Dr. Paulette Chesko has been helping people to recapture that youthful vitality through chiropractic care for the past 13 years. And she's been helping me personally for the past 3 years. Not every chiropractor provides the same type of services. As a chiropractor specializing in corrective care, which is restoring the proper alignment of the spine, not just treating symptoms, Dr. Paulette provides patients with a variety of services in addition to chiropractic adjustments, including acupuncture, nutrition, and massage. By using these natural methods, she helps patients of all ages restore their health without using drugs or surgery. The most cost-effective way to achieve health is to maintain good health. Once you have reached your goals, she will help you stay there and feel better for good. So give her a call. Dr. Paulette Chesko at Gentle Touch Chiropractor and Wellness Center in St. Petersburg. That's at 727-235-3265. I know you will feel better.
When I first met you, Linda, I was a mess. My dad's dementia, especially the daily stress and agitation, was causing our whole family stress, even losing caregivers repeatedly. Thankfully, someone had suggested we try hemp-infused coconut oil daily. We couldn't believe it. Almost immediately, we noticed a difference, and so did the caregivers. Today, he smiles more. Our family and caregivers do, too. He sleeps better and is a calmer person. It took a long time for us to find a quality CBD product we felt comfortable giving Dad. That's why I started CR World, a company dedicated to providing quality hemp products rich in CBD for seniors and their families, driven by education.
Paulette, you really look like a different person. Happier, healthier, and smiling. I'm so happy about that. So for our listeners to find out how CBD is making a difference safely and naturally, you can go to www.comecrworld.com/caregivers. That's comecrworld.com/caregivers. And you can order yours today.
Red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Friends, so as we've been talking about so far, is caregivers need help because caregivers help everybody else. So I hope you listen to that affirmation. I hope you take some time for yourself because it's my big concern that caregivers are dying before the people they're taking care of.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that, but it's a fact and a large number. And then you know what happens? Then your worst scenario comes true because now your loved one is all by themselves. So, Lauren, tell us some more about these tools that our listeners can use.
Well, the one that comes to mind when you talk about that is compassion. Compassion is a really kind of misunderstood word. And even if you look in the dictionary, it uses synonyms like empathy and sympathy. It's really much more than that. Compassion is a soul-to-soul kind of connection. And I'd like to tell this little story. You may be watching television and someone steals something and you think, how could they possibly do that? I mean, people who steal aren't my kind of people. If you think about it, though, sometime in your life you've stolen something. Unless you're very unusual, you at one time or another took something that didn't belong to you. I can remember my mother-in-law when she was over 90 becoming quite upset one day. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, I guess I'm not going to go to heaven. And I said, why are you saying that? She said, well, when I was 9 years old. And she told a story about taking a trip on a trolley with her mother to visit an aunt. And the aunt had a little tiny silver sword. And she just loved it. And she put it in her pocket. And here she is all these years later carrying that. Compassion for yourself, of course, when you do something wrong, because everyone does, is important. But realizing whoever you're getting upset about, whoever's behavior, you don't like the doctor, you don't like the nurse, you don't like the hospital attendant, you don't like a family member that isn't sympathetic enough, your caregiver isn't being as loving sweet as you would like them to be, or your patient isn't being as loving, depending on which role you're playing. Think about, have I ever done that? And maybe not to the level that I'm watching. I'm watching someone who's done something that's really been hurtful, but haven't I done the same thing? And once you make that admission to yourself, then that soul-to-soul contact takes place. And the story that I tell in the book about me, I kept calling this person stupid. Or then I corrected myself. Well, she wasn't really stupid. She was just ignorant. She didn't know any better. And I thought, how many times have I not known better? You know, when someone pointed it out to me, because I told the story to my Aunt Pauline, and she said, oh, Lauren, think how she suffered. It had never crossed my mind that she had suffered.
Right.
That she, because I've lost something and frantically hunted for it. So immediately I had a whole different feeling about this fellow human being. We really need to beef up our compassion muscles.
Yeah.
We need to make them stronger.
Because we're so good at judging.
Yeah, because judging is hurtful and compassion is loving and kind. And even if you, that doesn't excuse bad behavior. It doesn't mean somebody should be able to beat you up or rob you or cheat you or do any of those things. But if they do, there is truth to the adage that hurt people hurt people. And if they're doing something hurtful, chances are they were hurt themselves. And they weren't born hurtful.
Right.
They were innocent little babies when they were born. So somebody did something to hurt them, and they are lashing out consciously or unconsciously toward you. So compassion is a really wonderful tool. It's one of the best feel-good tools there is because it takes away the nasty edge of life. When you can relate to other people.
You know, last week we were talking on the show about the virtual dementia tour. I don't know if you know about that.
No,
but
I don't.
They tape some of your fingers together, you know, like that you
put
have dementia.
Put marbles in your shoes.
Right.
And
then you have to go in your room and do something. I'll tell you, you get a lot of compassion after that.
Yeah. Well,
because you can really put yourself in the other person's shoes.
I think the first time it happened with John was that he walked across painfully across the room to pick up his glasses and went back to where he sat down and realized that he had forgotten his wallet or whatever. And he didn't have enough left to go back and get it again. And I thought so often, at least as a young mother, I would be so exhausted. I think if I have to do one more thing for this kid, much as I love him to pieces, I'm going to scream or I'd say, cut me some slack. And you can say that to your caregiver, but remember that you've also had to ask for slack.
Right.
So, you know, when we're not judging each other, life is a whole lot easier.
You're more partners than caregiver
patients. Yes, and compassion is not a hard thing to develop. It's just that in my lifetime, no one ever encouraged it in me. I don't ever remember the word coming up.
Right, it wasn't in the conversation.
No, it wasn't part of my life.
Okay, what's the next tool?
Well, it's forgiveness.
That's a tough one.
Well, it is. Except that if you realize it's all about you,
yeah,
and when life's all about you, it's easier to deal with. Because that person that you're not forgiving is off playing golf or going to the Bahamas or having sex or something that you're not doing. You're home being miserable because you haven't forgiven them. And so it makes perfect sense to say, I'm just not going to treat myself this
way.
That's
right.
I'm going to just forgive them. And then the story I tell in the book was that I actually did a forgiveness exercise, and it was so long and tedious that I just thought, why am I doing this? Why don't I just forgive him and get it over with? and that worked, and it's worked ever since, because I realized that any process you have to go through to be forgiving is useless. You just need to do it.
Yeah.
And forgetting, it's a good idea too, because what you hold in mind, you create more of. So why not let it go to begin with?
Yeah, that's tougher for me.
It is tougher. You can remember the lesson from it without remembering the pain. My favorite adage is, it isn't letting go that hurts, it's holding on that hurts.
It's true.
Like you drag it around all your life with your extra baggage. Yeah. And so if you really let it go, You can deal with, I learned my lesson, I'll never do that again, or I'll never do it quite that way, but without all the animosity and unpleasantness.
Unfortunately, some of us need a couple of lessons, but you know how that goes.
We have plenty of time left.
And the one that interests me, I'm very big at Facebook, you know, and I post a lot on Facebook, and I get a lot of likes because they're uplifting messages.
Right.
But if I do anything on giving and receiving, I get very few likes.
Really?
I think people are embarrassed to talk about both. If they give, they don't want anybody to know what they're giving or why or how much or whatever. And if they're receiving, they're a little shy about receiving, and they think, well, I owe them one. Giving and receiving has nothing to do with that. I have it in the book as all one word, giving-and-receiving, because they're so intertwined. And Brother David Seidel-Rast, who is a Benedictine monk who's devoted his whole life to gratitude, says that every prayer is a prayer of gratitude, especially if you're saying please and thank you, because when you say please, you automatically assume you're going to have the opportunity to say thank you. If I say to you, would you please pass the salt, I expect to be able to say thank you for passing the salt. So that giving and receiving are all part of one thing, and that gratitude for both is what's important. So when you're giving and receiving, you're really mirroring universal energy. I mean, the tree sheds its leaves, which nourishes the ground, which nourishes the roots, which nourishes the tree. And every breathe in, we breathe out. Anything that isn't both given and received becomes stagnant and dies. So it's such a part of us, but I think we need to have a kinder attitude toward it. To both giving, you're not giving up something, you're giving a gift, and in receiving, you really earned a lot of nice things. You deserve nice things given to you. So that's one to play with for your own good. And also the patient who's beginning to think, I can't do anything for myself, everybody has to give to me, I'm just no good anymore, I'm worthless, I can't give back, I don't have anything to give, that's ridiculous. They can give encouragement,
tell a
they
story.
Can give smiles, they can tell their life stories, they can listen, which many people don't have time to do. They can share in 1,000 different ways. So by letting them know that what they give is valuable, even if it isn't the kind of thing they used to give, they're now giving something different. It's not that they're not giving, they're just giving
in a different way.
And they if they can telephone or text or whatever. They can give encouragement. They can give advice. They can give, they can do things for people that they don't have time to do for themselves. They can research things for someone who doesn't have time to research. You know, helping them figure out what they have still to give.
Well, you know, when my dad was confined to a bed, and he was confined to the bed the last few years of his life, but he was the most encouraging person I know. And he would watch what I was doing and talk to me about what I was doing and wanting to know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of the best part of our relationship over our whole life.
Yeah, he had plenty of time to pay attention
exactly.
to you. So encouraging your patient that they still are a viable part of the community, they can write to the mayor and say, I really like that law you just passed, or I'm really glad you did, or I don't, yeah.
Right.
But they they can contribute to their community. They can contribute to their nation. They can contribute to their family.
Yeah.
And so the giving, and if you are unable to give and only receive, you feel inadequate. If you're only only giving and not receiving,
it doesn't feel good either.
So it's important to talk about it.
Okay.
To make sure that everybody keeps that flow going so nothing turns so stagnant.
Okay, what's the next one? Because I want to make sure we get to all of them.
What was your favorite one?
Gratitude, of course. You know, gratitude is my favorite one, but I like them all. And I like the different part. And I like affirmations, you know me.
Yeah, I know you like affirmations, and we have the 12 of them in here. But the most famous affirmation in the world is, every day in every way I'm getting better and better. It was formed by a man named Emil Cui, and it became the world's most popular affirmation.
Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. That's a good one.
And if both the caregiver and the patient are saying it, you'd be surprised. Now, they may not be healing forever in all the ways they want, but some things are getting better. Their cognition is getting better. Their attitude is getting better. Their joy of life is getting better. Their ability to communicate is getting better if they're using these tools. So that's a very good, solid affirmation to say back and forth to each other a couple of times a day.
And, you know, I love all affirmations. And you know, that CD that you have with the affirmations and the one that has the OSHA music with the subliminal messages, I go to sleep to that every night.
I hear that.
And if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't go back to sleep, I put that on and I'm back asleep before it stops.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
It's cool.
I'll sometimes go back to a church I used to serve and they'll say, I go to bed with you every night. Really?
You wish.
And I missed
That's what you tell them. You wish.
I didn't notice a thing.
All right, guys. Well, we have to hear from the rest of our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Well, you came and opened me, and now there's so much more I see, and so by the way I think. Adult daycare centers are designed to provide care and companionship for older adults who need assistance or supervision during the day. Programs offer relief to family members and caregivers, allowing them to go to work, handle personal business, or just relax while knowing their relative is well cared for and safe. Maria's Adult Daycare offers mental, social, and physical activities for adults who've lost some independence due to cognitive impairments or chronic health conditions. They provide day services in a safe, caring environment, and they make a difference by ensuring compassionate, quality care. I love it when I visit there and see the smiling staff and happy clients. For a tour of Maria's Adult Daycare Centers, you can call today in Seminole at 727-393-7711 or in Countryside at 727-223-3999. Call Maria. Maria cares. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia and Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize each individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, the goal is to make your loved one as comfortable and as independent and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming, with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 themed houses.
It warms my heart when I visit there and see how joyful the residents are. Please call or stop by to talk to a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole is at 727-517-7800, or you can reach them in Largo at 727-559-8411. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
So call today, 1-800-585-7413, 1-800-585-7413, and use promo code Linda. That's 1-800-585-7413, promo code Linda. Don't delay, call today.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
That means get your paper and pencil because Lynn's got a lot of good stuff to tell you.
I do. On May 2nd at 1:30 p.m. at Sunshine Gardens in Crystal River, you are invited to join Gary LeBlanc as he trains the staff on dementia-related diseases, positive ways to improve communication, handling dementia behaviors, and making the right decision in caring for loved ones with dementia.
And he's a great speaker.
Yes. For more information, call 352-563-0235. That's 352-563-0235. And then on May 19th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Two Lions Winery in Palm Harbor is the second annual chili cook-off. The cost is $10, which includes chili and a bottle of water. If you want to enter your favorite chili, please call 727-580-0028.
Oh, you left out an 8 there.
I did. I missed that 8. At 727-580-0028. Good thing I put it down twice.
Yeah, and Lynn and I will be there with my Chiquita chili, so come and check it out.
Yes.
We get around.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And then on May 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., at the Seminole Assembly of God Church, a panel of experts will answer all the questions a caregiver needs to know about managing dementia. Our Linda Burhans will be the moderator. Yay! RSVP to 727-517-7800. That's 727-517-7800.
And you know what I say, my friends? Knowledge is power. These are free seminars. There will be the one that I'm going to be moderating. There'll be an elder care attorney there, and a geriatric care manager, and a whole bunch of people.
And Maria Weiner.
Maria Weiner, and a whole bunch of people that can give you really good information. So please come see us.
All right. Then Arden Courts of Seminole is offering free memory screenings on the third Friday of every month from 1 to 4 p.m. If you are worried about a loved one, you can make an appointment by calling 727-517-7800. That's 727-517-7800. That's it.
Okay, you got it.
Kelly.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking earlier about Kelly from Saving Our Seniors. She needs volunteers. Kelly has a nonprofit, and she picks up all this durable medical equipment and stores it in a warehouse and cleans it all up and brings it to people. But she can't do it by herself. There's no real income coming there. Everything is through donations and volunteers. And Lynn and I, we had a great time when we did it, right?
We did. We got lost a little bit.
Yeah, we got lost a little
bit,
but it's in Florida, it's not too bad. It's sunny, it's warm, so it's okay. So think about, and you can go on my website, Linda's Caregiver Connections, and look under Saving Our Seniors, and you'll find the phone number there and everything.
Just a couple of days.
Yeah. Just a day. Lynn and I are going to do like a day a month, so see what you guys can do. Don't forget to enter the caregiver contest. Go to the website, connectingcaregiversradio.com, and you can nominate a caregiver, because the week after next, we'll be picking our latest winner, and they will get 8 hours of respite care from Arden Courts or Maria's Adult Daycare or Assisting Hands Home Care. They're going to get a massage, a facial, a dinner, a whole bunch of stuff. I think we're getting some essential oils, too, somebody's going to give me.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be really good.
Hope it makes it to the basket.
I know. It's kind of tough. So, Lauren, what's the last things you want to tell us?
Well, I want to tell you that you can buy the book on Amazon.com, The Handbook of Spiritual Tools, Reaching Beyond the Challenge to Find the Solution. And
it's on Kindle, too.
It's on Kindle.
Okay. Perfect.
And I want to suggest that the last tool you consider using is the power of intention, which sets your goal. And a really good one for caregivers is, today I expect to receive only happy surprises.
Mm.
If you start every day with that, you'll be surprised at how many there are. That some are big and some are little. Things go better than you'd expect. They go faster. They cost less. People appear to help you that you didn't expect. So every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better is a really good affirmation. And today, I expect only happy surprises is a really
good
intention.
And people, be aware. You need to be aware.
Yeah, of your
too
blessings.
Too many people walk through in a fog.
Give me five.
Yeah, give me five. Yeah. I like that.
Give me five.
I'll give you my favorite outfits.
That's true. That's right. Your five favorite anythings are blessings, and as soon as you acknowledge them, you draw more to you.
Okay, my friends, so get the book. It's good stuff. I am so glad that you tuned in this week. I know that your time is really valuable, but we're here to help in any way we can. We know it can be a tough road, but it also can be one of the most beautiful experiences in your life, depending on how you handle it. So please like us on Facebook, our Facebook page, Connecting Caregivers Radio. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And remember, God loves you, and have a delicious day.
Sky above you should turn dark.